Psalm 113. Is that registering, Corey?
Yeah, cool.
Psalm 113 is where we'll pick up. We left off in 112. It's been our, for a long time, we were kind of progressing through and studying through Psalms and might, you know, knock out two or three in a week. On a Sunday night. And found it much more relaxing. And being that Sunday night is a little bit different of a meeting for us as a more of a believer's meeting than a Sunday morning set. But just for us to get into one psalm and go through it, when we're done with that, to be in prayer and spend time sharing our prayers and praises, prayer requests and praises with each other. And I find it to be a blessing. I know I'm blessed by it. So, I like the fact that we pray together. I like sharing, you know, our prayer requests corporately and praying. If there's one thing that I think, especially Mainers, but Americans, is we're very private. We're very, you know, I'm gonna keep you at a distance. When we were stationed overseas, that didn't exist much. We found ourselves much closer to people that were Americans over there in our church, and because they were really all we had. We didn't really have established lives over there to go hide into. You know, we were over there, and we established relationships with other American couples that were, you know, stationed over there. And when we got to the States, it was like there was an off switch. For most people, we'd see some people there and it's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, like, oh, okay. So, you know, it's kind of one of those like, oh, okay. So when we're there, we're friends. When we're here, it's like, we're more on hey basis. You know what I mean? It's a little bit, and I enjoy this. I enjoy being able to, as brothers and sisters, share our prayer requests corporately, to pray corporately. It's a blessing to do so. So it's necessary, and it's in the script. It's all through the scripture that we would pray together. So I like this format better than our other format that we were doing earlier. And we'll do this, you know, until the Lord leads differently. We may take breaks from the Psalms, or when we move into Proverbs or something like that, take breaks for things like the Calvary distinctives or things like that. But for now, this is where we're at. So, well, let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word, and we ask, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and minds to receive it and to be pliable, Lord, and help us to mold our thinking, our lives around your word, and that you would do that by the power of your Holy Spirit. But we would, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to follow the lamp and follow that light as you lead us. So we're grateful for this, and we ask you, Lord, to minister and to teach us by the power, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 113, it's a short psalm. I think it's 9 verses, but there it's packed. So we'll go through it and be blessed. So it starts with praise the Lord, praise O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. So praise the Lord. Who should be praising? Those that are his servants. And what should we be doing? Praising the name of the Lord. When we see often God's name is so dishonored, especially in our culture. I actually just left my daughter's soccer game, and I'm walking down the hill, and I hear teenagers standing around. They're waiting for their turn for a soccer game, and I just hear this young girl using the name of Jesus Christ in vain. And it breaks my heart every time I hear that. They're amongst their coaches and, you know, oftentimes amongst their parents, and no correction or anything, and it's unfortunate to hear. I just kind of see it in the distance, heard it in the distance, and I just shook my head, and you kind of just keep going. But praising the Lord, that his servants would praise the Lord. We make it a regular thing when we're together to praise God together. That's why even in this study, two or three songs, often unplugged, just to lift our voices together. And I'm so blessed when I, especially when you see, overseas, right? You see this group of people that it's part of their culture to be comfortable singing together. We'll sing together, but usually in a concert setting, right? When nobody else can hear us, really, right? But the vulnerability of doing such and praising the Lord, we can do that in how we live and what we say and singing. So there are many ways for us to praise the Lord. It's not just singing. It's actually a part of our lives. Verse 2 says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." I love that. From right now and forever. We can't go back and change things, but we can make declarations. Just go to the Lord and say, "I'm going to praise your name. My life is now set on praising you from now on, from this time forth and forever." Living a life of praise from this moment. I like it because it's not speaking of a delay. It's not saying, well, after I do this or after I do that in life, then I'll make my focus praising the Lord. But it's right now. I was very blessed this morning that it's quite a thing for somebody to come in public and ask for prayer, but I was very blessed to see that happen. It's a total blessing to see because, like I said this morning, this is where it's safe to do so. If it's not safe for us to come ask for prayer in church, what are we doing wrong, right? What's going on? We should be able to come and ask for prayer and just say, I'm dealing with this or this. And that prayer can be something for us. It can be something for somebody else. I had a lady who wasn't physically able to come up here. So she stopped me on her way out and said, "Would you pray?" And her three-year-old great-granddaughter had to have a cranial surgery coming up this week. So she asked for prayer, and it's right now. It wasn't a delay. It was, "Hey, I have a prayer request right now," and that's okay. It's okay for us to ask for things right now from brothers and sisters. But I love this. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. We can't change the past, but we can, set a course for our future according to God's will for us and say, "Lord, what I want to do is praise you from here on out." Are we going to stumble up? Are we going to have those times? Yes. But if the focus of our lives is to live a song for the Lord from here on out, we can do that, right? And it's not on our own power. If we try to do it on our own power, we're going to fall. But on the Lord's faithfulness and on His, by the power of His Spirit, right? So from this time forth, I love that. There's no delay from here. And it doesn't say for the next, just until tomorrow or just until this point. I remember in my sin as a teenager, I really was scared about something or whatever, and I try to make deals with God, like, "Hey, I'll live for you for the next 3 days if you do this," right? You guys, just the foolishness. We can laugh about it, right? Because from this day forward until Thursday at what time does the party start? 9. So Thursday at 8:50. That'll give me time to drive there. Or walk there or whatever. But this time forever and forevermore. So from this time, there's the declaration in life that there would be a blessing of the name of God from this time forward. It's not, "Okay, I'm going to wait here. I'm going to set up this time." And yes, we can dedicate a specific time to the Lord and say, "You know what? I'm going to be in prayer and fasting, or I'm going to dedicate this specific time. I'll get up at this time and I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm going to do those things." I just this past weekend was so blessed. Jen and the girls were off in different directions. Sorry, this past week, and just to take my dog and go for about a 3-mile walk on the Bucksport trails, and just to have that time just to pray. I know I've shared this before, but we had a brother here years ago that was talking about his prayer life and his prayer life. What he was saying was that it had become so precious and such a part of his life that he'd just wake up and say good morning to the Lord and just be praying throughout the day. And then at night, he'd just say good night, Lord. You know, that he knew that the Lord was in him and with him all throughout the day. Yes, to set that time aside, is very important for us, right? To go to our prayer closet, as the scripture tells us. But just to live out each day in prayer and to spend it. Guys, the tools we have available to us. Can you imagine? Right. I mean, we've got teachings on demand. You know, I downloaded, I wanted to listen to Joe Foch on, I can't remember if it was last night. Last night, I was looking forward to next week for 1 Corinthians 6. At my house, and I just get on the Calvary Philly app, and I download Joe's teachings. And literally within 5 seconds, it's ready. And I go to my downloads, and I start playing it as I'm doing things around the house. We have an unlimited amount of information available to us that we don't have enough time to cram, all that stuff in. But the resources we have, and to consider, all these things that we have available to us. And, what are we doing with those? From this time forward, what are we doing with the resources? Are we spending our time just doing nothing? Guys, don't get me wrong. This isn't a legalistic approach or anything. There's a time for relaxation. There's a time for hobbies and those types of things. But when it comes to that, every day when we have the ability to make things count, right, from this time forever forth, forevermore, jumping in the car, I can, listen to a teaching on 1.6 or 1.7 speed and usually listen to almost a full lesson from my house to the church and just be edified. So what are we doing? It's like I said, I don't want this to come across as something that's legalistic or making me, I'm just sharing the ways I've been blessed by these things that I have. So it's an encouragement to us, to fix our eyes and our minds toward the Lord from this point forward, that we're not looking back, right? There isn't this, looking back longing for whatever. No, I've made the decision from this time forward that the Lord is who I'm seeking with all that I am and all that I have forevermore. That forevermore, that's a, when you think of being in God's presence forevermore, there's a peace that we find in true worship. And there's an encouragement here that I found, that if praising him is hard, our heart, it probably isn't in the right place. If we're counting the songs, and I've found myself, I'll admit these things. I've found myself, especially at conferences, going, when's the teaching start? And I'm going, what are you doing, man? Right? I have to correct myself. I'm an impatient person, right? And the Lord it is changing that over time. But I can look back at times and go, I want to get into this or that. And then the more I've grown in my relationship with the Lord, the more I'm blessed just to be brought to the throne room of the Lord and be able to just sing to him and praise. We've got to get used to that, guys, right? Because consider when we're in his presence, it's going to be forevermore of praising the Lord and being with him. If we find ourselves struggling through a time that we know of as worship and in song, then meditate on God's goodness, his grace, his mercy. We try here to find songs that are pointing us to the Lord that aren't me focused. There are a few that talk about, that will, say things about us, but what God is doing, right? The focus is the Lord. I have a hard time with a lot of today's music because of the me focus, the me, I, my focus. And I'll just admit, I do struggle with a lot of the newer worship. And Here I am. I'm only 44, and I'm already saying, you know. But essentially, you know, but there are a lot of modern day songs that are very powerful that I love. You know, if you find yourself struggling, it's a mindset. You know, worship is something that's required of us. And go to the Lord. And if we find ourselves, you know what, this song, or I don't necessarily care for this song, or oh, the sound, you know, the sound doesn't sound great, or the worship leader doesn't sound great or anything. It's not about any of those things. You know, the songs are designed to allow us and to point us to our Savior, our Creator, and to lead us to worship Him. Anybody coming onto the worship team, we make sure that everybody understands this is not a spectacle. I mean, you guys know that. You're a part of this church. But it isn't a, hey, this is the me show, or this isn't, you know, anything like that. We may stop like in the middle of a song and have an instrumental, but that's still not the Shane or Corey show or anything like that. It's literally just song. It's a great melody to lift to the Lord, but the Lord is the focus. You know, if we black everything out, spotlight on somebody, and you know, there's you know, great things around them, then you know, you get into dangerous things. But it's about worshiping the Lord. And I love this, from this time forth and forevermore, the mindset of, no, I'm praising God. That was a lot for one verse. I realize that. Verse 3, from the rising of the sun to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. So when do we start praising the Lord in a day? When our day starts. When do we end? When the day is over. You know, this is talking about sun up to sundown, especially when this was written. You know, people would go to bed earlier, and unless they're out partying, you know, by candlelight and, you know, everything there. But oftentimes the start of the day was light and the end of the day was dark, right? You know, you don't want to burn up all your candles and those types of things. So from sun up to sundown, from the start of the day to the end of the day. So forevermore, all day, every day. It's just a blessing to see here. Verse 4 says, the Lord is high above all nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? You know, praising God for who He is, and you know, He's high above the nations and the heavens is the description of Him here and in His position. His glory above the heavens. So I love this question here. Who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high? There are none like Him. And then it goes on to say, who humbles Himself to behold the things that are in the heavens or in the earth. You know, he dwells on high, but still reaches down and looks down upon us. You know, and you know, it reminds me in Psalm 8, who is man that you're mindful of him? You know, where is creation? So He's very much focused on us. He didn't just create us and say, I'm just going to forget about Him and that's it. It is very much a focus on His creation and revealing Himself to us. And he's very concerned with us. I know I use this example a lot, but it's important for us to understand it. When Jesus said that the Father knows the number of hairs on our head, if we ever question why and how much the Lord loves us, just consider, you know, that's quite a statement there, that He knows the most intricate details about us, and He knows our thoughts, you know, and He still loves us, right? But the Lord is high, and it says, who is like the Lord our God, who dwells on high? There is none like Him. So you know, when you look at the scriptures and you consider how good God is, and we understand, I love the fact, and I recently was reminded of this, and I usually will retain, you know, you guys know, I don't know if it's just me, but we retain certain things better than others, right? But I loved hearing the fact, and I've heard several teachers say this, but I love it being brought up all the time, is that the scriptures don't try to explain the existence of God. They don't, it's just stated in the scriptures. There isn't this big argument on, okay, so now we're going to build the argument for the existence of God. No, I mean, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1, you know, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. There's no, and now I'm going to build this. I'm going to make this statement, and now I'm going to come back it up. I love that because we can stand as believers, we can stand upon that. And so why do you believe that? Because the Bible declares it. The Bible declares it, you know, the declarations of the scripture, we can just stand on those. And that's a blessed place to be. There are some that are called to deeper conversations to reach people here, you know, with apologetics or any of those types of discussions. But I love just where the scripture says it, and I can just take it and apply it to my life and move forward. Those are things that are great blessings to me. So who is like the Lord our God who dwells on high? Then it goes on to say, there is none like him. That's essentially what's being implied there. And the fact that he would humble himself to behold those things that are in heaven, in the heavens and the earth. Verse 7, he raises the poor out of the dust, and he lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. So praise him for what God has done. You know, so this psalm is saying praise the Lord. And now another thing to focus on is, you know, what has God done? That he would take the poor out of the dust and the needy out of the ash heap. I was listening this evening on my way down here. I listened to this multiple times. It's only 8-9 verses. So I'm like hitting replay. King James Version says the dung heap. That's the worst place to be. That's the last place I would want to be. Just the dung heap. I wouldn't want to be there. But to know that the Lord would lift the needy that's in the ash heap, in the dung heap, to be pulled out of that, somebody that needs to be out of there, he'll lift them up, set our feet upon the rock. Right, that we would have solid ground to stand on in him. But the poor out of the dust and the needy out of the ash heap speaks to who our God is. You can rewind into verse 5 is who is like our God that would do something like this. When you often look at religion and man-made religion is the desire to climb to higher spiritual heights. But we're here studying of the God that would come down. You know, it humbled himself even to the point of the cross, right? That's our God that loves us and not only, you know, looks on us, but is focused on our needs and the spiritual need, the physical need that we have within our lives. And when you see here the poor out of the dust and the needy out of the ash heap, and then we see the Lord, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, right? Like James says, humble yourselves. God exalts the humble. You know, our responsibility is to remain humble. Be humble, and if God wants to put us into a certain situation, then God will exalt us. It is not our duty or our God doesn't need us to say, "Hey, God, I really want this position, so I'm gonna name it, claim it, and I'm gonna say that I'm in that position." No, when it's talking about even the poor and needy being brought out of the dust and the ash heap, even those that are seemingly in a helpless spot. But oftentimes we can try to exalt ourselves. When you look at the scriptures, there's the warning. I'm trying to remember exactly where it is. Instead of going in and sitting in the seat of prominence and then getting embarrassed, right? Your seat's actually back here, right? Right. Oh, this, you know, those reserve signs that you moved, those weren't for you, right? That would be an example of an easy thing to do, to put ourselves in a place of prominence, right? Or to assume a spiritual assignment or position within the church and those things. So just our responsibility is to realize that we are to be the humble ones. If the Lord wants to exalt us, he will. And we see here that those that are even seemingly in a situation they can't get themselves out of it, we see that the Lord shows that he cares for them personally and sets their feet up. It says, you know, from those that were, it says from those situations to being seated with princes. And I said with the princes of his people, you know, amongst his people, right? There, if you look at the world around us and the culture around us, there's the, I've got to push myself up. And no, the Lord's going to set us where he wants us. And I love that it says with the princes of his people. And there's just a great blessing in that. And so the Lord will put us where he wants us. We shouldn't focus on the desires of any desire for greatness or anything, but just celebrate the blessedness of God doing good things on our behalf. Verse 9 says, he grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children, you know, praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, if you want to turn there, you can. I'm just going to read those verses. But Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 7 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So that can apply back to the man that's lifted from the place of need. And it can also, you know, think of the things that he would do in a barren woman's life. And look at how many examples we see in the scripture of one that's not able to have children. And then the Lord answers seemingly when things are impossible, right? Or you can look at Zechariah and Elizabeth, where they weren't able to have children. And the Lord sends the angel to speak to them, and just they had tried to have babies, and they hear, you know, your prayers have been heard. And so that's there's great comfort to find in the scriptures. So these were examples of God doing things to help people. You know, somebody that's, you know, the poor out of the dust, the needy out of the ash heap, those that are barren to have children. You know, so we can look at it in our lives. What were the things that we needed in our lives that God met? He met me right there at my weakest point. He knew what I needed, and he met me there. That we come to that realization of God's faithfulness toward us. Because there are also times where we can look and go, God didn't provide a child. God didn't heal. Does that mean he's less faithful? No. It's just, what's his desire? What's his will for our lives? We've seen it here in this church. We've lost brothers and sisters from this fellowship you know, we lost them to cancer. Does that mean God had no blessing for them in their lives, or that they did something wrong and they were being punished? No, absolutely not. So we have to understand, what is God's character? You know, if we understand his character, then we understand that, okay, for his children, he's not pouring out his wrath on his children. That's not like him. We see him delivering his children from his wrath all throughout the scripture. Look at the flood. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. It's all throughout the scripture of the removal of his children before his wrath being poured out. So there, it's not like this person wasn't saved. Their life wasn't saved. I mean specifically. Their physical being wasn't restored, their health wasn't restored to them, and they passed away. Unfortunately, there are many churches that will teach, like, And I've actually had conversations. Shane and Sarah have shared conversations, and I won't use names or anything because I don't remember them. But of people that they know that churches have told them if you only had prayed more, or there must be sin in your life for that person to have not been healed. Guys, that is so wicked, so wrong. You know, when the scriptures say there's a time to be born and there's a time to die, we don't know. It's just essentially we're all going to face those things. But when we can look at, you know, this psalm is talking about praising God, and we're now talking about reasons to praise Him. You know, we can at the end of our lives, if we know that the end of it's coming, we can look back. You know, consider what Job said. You know, Job lost everything. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, and I mean, we know Job had his struggles, but look what he went through. Let's not judge him too hard, right? Consider his situation where he's afflicted, and you know, his friends come along, and you know, they're a little bit of help, and then they turn on him, and then we see God just ministering to Job, and in the end, the relationship that Job has with the Lord, right? And God comes and he ministers to him, and God's like, you needed to learn these. You were lacking these things in your life. And through everything he went, and from everything he went through to have a greater, no doubt, you know, when we lose something and then maybe it's restored back to us, we sometimes have a greater appreciation. There were a lot of things that we can learn in the book of Job. But one thing I have always seen and have been blessed by is he was blessed more in what he had afterward. Right, that the Lord says, obviously there were things that he learned through that, and we see the faithfulness of God to carry him through. Right, and it's a hard thing, especially when you read the book of Job, and you're like, what? God gave Satan permission to do these things because God had a plan for Job's life. He still had the plan. That wasn't the end of Job's life. He's like, yeah, just torture him and kill him, and then we'll just send him to you for eternity. That wasn't the case at all. You know, when Job at the end is praising the Lord, we can praise the Lord, right? We don't have to get wrapped up in like, oh man, you know, look at God, you know, allowed in Job's life and all these things. Look at the guy that it actually affected. What was his response? Praising God. He had his time of questioning God, and then God comes and ministers to him, right? God's good. He's good, and we can trust in his word. Back to the barren woman and a home. Especially back in those days to be barren. That's a tough situation for them because they're going to be considered accursed. What did you do? You know, what sins did you commit that God is not blessing you? Consider even how powerful that is. As we go through here, one thing of note that I found in study is Mary's song of praise is very similar to this psalm, and I'm going to read it to you. If you'd like to read along, it's in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 is where we start, through 55. But considering what we just read and the focus of God's ability to lift and bless those that love him, And what he blesses us with is so much better than what this world has to offer. And we see Mary's response to the Lord after the good news she received in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Luke 1, 46, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. When it's wonderful to look throughout the scriptures and to see the psalmist praising the Lord in the same way that Mary would. Many years later in Luke chapter 1. If you notice here, the lowly, and God brought me here, low, and God brought here. He has shown the strength of his arm, the strength of him. In verse 52, it says he has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly, right? So it's just praising the Lord for what he's done. And there are several reminders here, as we've studied through here. And it ends with praise the Lord, right? So we can go through this whole psalm and meditate on who God is and what he has done. And as we have a proper understanding of who he is and what he's done, we're going to want to praise him. It's going to stir up our heart to turn on, a song. Or just to shut the radio off and sing our own song that God has put into our heart, whatever it is, or just say thank you, right? We're often so quick to forget, but praise the Lord for what he has done. He has his way in our lives, and we just have to trust him with it. And we can't. Isn't it nice to know that we can trust him? We don't have to sit and go, I don't know if I can trust God. If the poor poor's in the dust or the needy's in the ash heap, then I think we can trust him too. That person in the biggest place of need being exalted by the Lord and placed in with the princes of his people. That's a great blessing that we can trust in his plan for us. So praise the Lord. I say amen to that. Praise him as we should, every day, all day, everywhere, and forevermore. We should praise him for who he is and what he has done. And we're left with that rhetorical question, who is like him? There's an exclamation point and a question mark, right? Who is like the Lord? None is the answer, right? I say it's rhetorical and then I give the answer, but you guys get it, right? There is none like him. And because there's none like him, that should bring us to a point of praise, that he knows our frame, that we are but dust, and he still loves us. That speaks of a wonderful God. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, that we have a God that loves us. Help us to be mindful of your grace, your mercy, your love, of your majesty, Lord, the fact that you deserve honor and praise. Lord, and the times that we are blessed by instruction or correction or whatever it is, Lord, you're faithful to us. Lord, help us to have the mindset that's displayed here in Psalm 113 of praising you all day, every day, from this day forward, forevermore, for who you are and what you have done and what you do on our behalf. And we're grateful that you love us and that we have a relationship with you. We pray that you bless our time in prayer together, and that you would hear what is offered to you and that you would answer according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.